Thank you, choir. What a nice way to begin a service. We'd like to welcome everyone to the service today. If you're a visitor, we'll give you an extra special welcome. And we're also glad to have Alice with us, who will be bringing our message a little later. If you would, get your hymnal and stand, and we'll sing I Stand Amazed, page 223. Father, we are so humbled by the mercy and marvelous love that you offer to us every day. We pray that you would be with us as we continue our worship service and help us that the things we do and say would be in accordance with your will. For it's in thy name we pray. Amen. Are there announcements other than what's in the bulletin?
At the Quaker Men Breakfast, that I think is the first Saturday in December, we have a few canned goods that we're going to have for sale. We don't have any green beans. Green beans weren't very fruitful this past summer, but We do have a few things of, I think, soup mixes and various things. So if you're interested, you can let me know ahead of time, or we'll have them out for sale at the breakfast.
And I guess that will be in the newsletter also.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there other announcements?
Breakfast will be. I haven't put anything in there about.
Okay, okay. Anybody want to say anything about trunk or treat?
Tonight from 3 o'clock till 5:30, we encourage everyone to come out and decorate your trunk of your car. And for anyone that has grandchildren or your own children or neighbors, please bring them. We're going to have lots of candy and games and crafts and a hot dog supper. So we encourage everyone to come out this evening for that.
It will be in the newsletter, but you also might want to mark your calendars for December 8th and 9th will be the meeting's outdoor Christmas drama, and it will be held at our farm at an old barn. So it should be exciting. Anything else? Okay. If not, we'll ask the ushers to come forward for the offering. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you again with thankful hearts for all our many blessings. We pray that you would accept these offerings as a small token of our appreciation of your love and support. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Now, this is such a wonderful time of year. What are some of your favorite things about this time of year in the fall? Sophie? Squirrels. Are they looking for lots of acorns? They sure are. What else is special about this time of year, Autumn? Isn't that beautiful, seeing all those changing colors of the leaves? I like that a lot, too. What do you like, Hayes? Oh, yeah, the snakes are going to get underground. I like that too. What about you? It's cooler. And you know, I like that too because playing outside is not hot and sweaty. It's really comfortable and we can play outside. I like that too. The days are shorter. You know, I like that as a mom because it's a lot easier to get my daughters to bed at 8 o'clock this time of year because it's dark. It's pretty tricky in the summer. What about pumpkins? Does anyone like pumpkins? Yeah, I do too. And we learn a lot about pumpkins this time of year. We see them. Has anyone carved a pumpkin? Yeah, isn't that fun? And what's happening this afternoon? Trunk or treat, so we get to dress up and lots of candy. So it's just a, it's a really in Halloween. And what are you gonna dress up as, Lathan? Army man. Good. I can't wait to see you later. So, but with pumpkins, that's something I really like. And I brought a friend with me today to help me tell a story, but he's a little shy. But I think he'd be comfortable. Can y'all? His name is Jack. Can you say, "Hey, Jack," and make him feel comfortable? Can I say, "Hey, Jack"?
Hey, Jack.
Okay. I think he might want to come out and see us. Hey, Jack. They said, "Hey." Oh, you made him feel welcome. Hey, Jack. They said, "Hey." Say it one more time.
Hey, Jack.
It's all right. They're really friendly kids, I promise. Really? Yeah, really. Hi. All right, well, Jack, these are some really special children. I was going to tell them a story about pumpkins, and would you help me do it? Sure. What's that? He was wondering if he could tell you the story. Is that all right with y'all? Okay, we'll let Jack tell the story. You're not so shy after I told you they were nice kids. All right, the story I brought that Jack wants to help you read is called The Pumpkin Prayer. The pages are a little small, but the message is really big.
Ready, Jack? First it says, when you want to find a good pumpkin, choose a pumpkin. Lord, fill me with your wisdom and guidance. They're filled with all kinds of good stuff, just like each of you. Next, when you carve a pumpkin, scoop out the insides. Have you ever scooped out the insides of a pumpkin? What's it feel like, Emma? She just said, ugh. I agree.
It feels
like... Yeah, exactly. And Lord, take out all of my fussies and frownies and fill me with your love. Next, I'm going to do a pumpkin. Carve the eyes. Lord, open my eyes to see all the beautiful things you have made. That reminds me of you said, Autumn. This time of year, we see all the beautiful leaves changing. Carve the nose. Lord, help me to be a sweet, sweet fragrance for you. That's good, Jack. I love this part. Jack, this is one of my favorite parts. Great, really good for this. Okay. Carve the mouth. Lord, help me to always speak your words of loving kindness. Do y'all try to do that every day? Place a light inside. I wish we had an example of that. What do we do? What did you bring? Jack Pat Place a light inside. Okay, thank you.
that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for sharing this pumpkin prayer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You did a good job, all right?
Let us pray then. Lord, thank you so much for letting us gather here today. And thank you for this beautiful season with your beautiful colors and weather and just everything that you've blessed us with. Help us remember through this season that we are filled with your light and we're so grateful for it. Please bring us back together next week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I've heard of a talking donkey in the Bible. Now we've heard of a talking pumpkin. Very good. Does anyone have a prayer request? Or a joy to share?
I think several of you know my sister, Sally. She fell and broke her hip last week, and she's in, I can't even find the name of the rehab center, but she has gone to it, so just remember her.
Kay, my stepsister, Paula Ho, is not doing well. She's had a large surgery, and she ended up having to go back to the emergency room about, I think, wasn't it Friday, and I got her to be put on her support.
We had a great-grandchild, granddaughter, born last night at 5 till 12. Everything's doing great. They'll be home tomorrow.
Any others? I'm sure we all have unspoken requests that we can silently speak. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the many spoken requests that have been made and also those that are unspoken. We know that you know our needs and you know how to take care of us in the right way. We pray that you would be with Hilda's sister and help her as she goes to rehab. And we also pray for Wanda's stepsister, and we ask for guidance and comfort for each of them. We also thank you for the praises in our lives and for the new grandbaby that's been born to the McCadden family. We pray that you would go with us through our everyday lives, grant us your peace, and help us as we go through the trials and tribulations that could come each day, and help us that we would learn to depend on you for guidance, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We'd like to extend a special welcome to Alice this morning. I was really excited when I called her and she said yes. And she is a little bit worried this morning because she wanted a copy of my introduction. And I told her, don't worry, it's all right here. I've known Alice all her life. Charlie and Mary would be very fast to tell you that Alice is their niece. But I think I have a little closer connection than even they do, because Alice's grandmother and my grandfather were brother and sister. Alice's grandfather and my grandmother were also brothers and sisters. So that makes us second cousins twice, however that goes. Alice has, she's a Methodist, so we'll forgive her for that. But Alice has been with us on family trips and provided the worship services for us and did a marvelous job. And she's also very musical, so we're happy to have you, Alice, and have a good time with us.
Thank you so much, Kay. Yeah, I guess I didn't have to worry, really. Let me just get all set up here. Can you hear me okay? Is this working okay? All right, great. Great. Well, it is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. I'm going to start out by reading our scripture for today. It comes from James chapter 3. And it's about taming the tongue. Just as we learned in the pumpkin prayer from Amanda, that when you're carving the mouth of the pumpkin, we're reminded to speak words of loving kindness. So I think the Spirit was at work in tying our messages together today. So hear the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them, but pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our whole lives. And because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. People can tame and already have tamed every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we both bless the Lord and Father and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a salt water spring either. Well, as we Methodists like to say, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we pray that we would hear your word for us, that it would inspire us, challenge us, and encourage us to lead a life worthy of your calling to each of us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it really is wonderful to be here. As Kay said, we're definitely related. I'm probably related to a good percentage of you all as well. And if we did that ancestry DNA, which I've done, you just need to do it, we'd probably discover we're like at least fourth or third cousins, maybe second cousins or even more. So it's great to be here among friends and family. Now, the last time that I preached here, I don't know how long ago that was, maybe about 4 or 5 years. What folks remembered about my sermon was that I talked about manure. I'm not sure they remembered the message, but they did remember the manure. And I think the sermon had something to do with forgiveness, maybe, getting rid of the manure in our lives, but that's what people remembered. Today, I want to start out by talking about toilet paper and the great toilet paper shortage of 1973. Now, I actually don't remember it. I was in college over at UNCG and I had no idea what was going on in the world. But in December of that year, Johnny Carson made a joke during his opening monologue of The Tonight Show about an upcoming toilet paper shortage. And while Carson was not the first to comment on the situation, his joke was blamed for causing a nationwide toilet paper shopping spree. How many here were alive in 1973? Do you remember the toilet paper shortage? I don't either. But anyway, you may remember some long lines at the gas pump in the end of 73 and 1974. I do remember sitting in line at the gas station. There was a mentality of scarcity then. And this is the concern, this concern that there might be a shortage of toilet paper, while it was really just a rumor, fed into that frame of mind, into that scarcity mentality. And actually, there was a real issue of a shortage of commercial paper in Japan. And you know how rumors start. There's that element of truth. And then it just kind of takes on a life of its own. So the idea of a toilet paper shortage really took hold. People started filling their shopping carts to overflowing with toilet paper, and they almost created a real toilet paper shortage. Kind of reminds me of what we experienced just a few weeks ago with the run on bottled water and milk, different staples, bread, because of the coming hurricane. Maybe some of you were shopping in the grocery stores and you noticed that. People started talking about the fact that these staples were in short supply. And one friend of mine even told me that while she was at the checkout, a man left to get something he had forgotten. And when he came back, he said, "Somebody's taken the bread out of my cart." It just goes to show you that what we say can have all sorts of effects. Just the rumor of a crisis can create a crisis. And it all reminds us of the incredible power of words. Words can be used to build up or tear down. They can be used to encourage or discourage, to deceive or enlighten, to bring joy or to bring sorrow. So I want to encourage and challenge each of us today to think about, how are we using our words these days? Do our words bring life or do they bring death? The scripture we just read is from the Epistle of James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he's writing in the first century, probably some 30 or 40 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. So James sends out this letter to Christians in churches scattered out the Christian world of that time. And he's instructing them in the teachings of Jesus. He reminds them that the faith they profess leads them to action. Probably the best known quote from James is that quote about faith without works is dead. That's found in the second chapter of James. But that's probably why Martin Luther didn't want to include James in the canon of the Protestant Bible. Because here's what he said about it. He said, "St. James's epistle is really an epistle of straw, for it has nothing to do with the nature of the gospel about it." Well, Martin Luther and I agree about many things about grace and salvation and that connection and the importance of Scripture, but I think on this point we differ. I, in fact, do believe James was on to something about our need to tame the tongue. James reminds churches of his day and our day that our behavior, our action, flows from our beliefs. And in this chapter, he wants us to realize that our words have incredible power, that they are the expression of our beliefs. But words can either be positive or negative. I know we were all shocked and saddened yesterday by the tragic, senseless news of yet another shooting. This time in Pittsburgh, where my husband and I lived for several years. It really breaks our heart each time we hear about violence of this sort. And so often, in hindsight, we realize how violent that action that was taken was first expressed in words. This time, the shooter posted on a social networking site, reacting to an event for refugees hosted by the synagogue where the shooting took place. And in his post, the shooter used anti-Semitic epithets, an indication of the hatred in his heart. In the gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, on the positive side of words, I think about our time in Pittsburgh when my husband and I lived there, and the wonderful people in that city. There was a man by the name of Joe Lagana. He was a leader in the school system where I was working at the time. And he was just a born encourager. We used to joke that he could tell us to go to you know where, and we couldn't wait to get there. He was just so encouraging, so inspirational. It made you want to be around him. And he capitalized on the power of words by using them to give confidence, by bolstering people's potential, making them feel valued. He spoke the truth, but he spoke the truth in love. And there's a difference. Think back to the people in your own life. Maybe you've known people like Joe before, encouraging people. Have there also been folks who were the antithesis of Joe, who didn't know how to disagree without sounding disagreeable, who weren't very careful about the other person's feelings. Unfortunately, some people, when they hear something they disagree with, speak back in a very harsh way. They may think they're just expressing their truth and say something like, "Well, I just can't help it. I'm a plain-spoken person. I just tell it the way it is. I don't beat around the bush. I don't play games. I just speak my mind. And if people can't handle it, that's their problem." Well, in actuality, it becomes everyone's problem because it causes a lot of division in relationships and in the church, which is made up of relationships. James 1:26 reminds us to keep a tight rein on your tongue. So when a person thinks they're just telling it like it is, they're actually telling it like they are, for it's a reflection of their character. When people use profanity, for example, it's an expression of an immature or an impaired mind. In the last few years, my own husband struggled with dementia, and I've become aware that the use of profanity is common among people who have the beginnings of dementia. So it seems to me that we use profanity when our brains are not functioning at an adult level. Proverbs 21:23 reminds us that he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. And I think that's really something to ponder. We often get into trouble with our tongue when our guard is down. We stumble and we slip up and we say something that damages our relationship. We might repeat a juicy piece of gossip that we've heard at the dinner table. We might boast or exaggerate about to our next door neighbor about something that makes us seem a little bit cooler or smarter or somehow better than they think we are. Of course, forgiveness is always available for times like this, but sometimes, quite frankly, the damage is done when we open our mouths like that. It's kind of like letting that proverbial toothpaste out of the tube. Once it's out, it's going to be hard to get it back in. I think it's amazing to think about what a small part of the body the tongue is. But as James says, it can be a world of evil at work in us. Maybe you, like myself, have sent a letter or an email that you regret. Maybe you've yelled something at your child's soccer game that you wish you could take back. Or maybe you've told an inappropriate joke at work. We have probably all said things in anger to family members, things that in hindsight we wish we could take back. James warns us that words can do damage. We know that old adage, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, that adage just is not true. I think we find ourselves in good company with the Apostle Paul, who says in Romans 7, "The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me is going in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me?" And I've quoted this from the Eugene Peterson message, the paraphrase of the Bible. But I think there's such truth in the Apostle Paul's words for us. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Of course, Paul goes on to speak to that about who can. Clearly, though, the Apostle Paul had issues too, probably in all areas of his life, but I imagine also with his tongue. So what are we to do about taming our tongue? Well, I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, there are some practices to help us. So I'd like to share three practices with you this morning that may help. First, we need to be self-aware. Remember that James says about what he says about the bit in the horse in a horse's mouth, or that small rudder on a huge ship. The skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. But we have to be aware of what we're doing before we can set that course. James also asks us, can a salt spring produce fresh water? He reminds us that we need to attend to those interior issues of our life, because words come from a source that's housed in our heart and mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it comes everything in your life. Salt water comes from a salty spring, just as fresh water comes out of a fresh spring. I think the second thing that we can do is pay attention even to our bodies. Let's face it, we all get grumpy at times. There may be many reasons for this, but my son and daughter-in-law have a term they like to use. Maybe you've heard it. It's called hangry. Hangry is a combination of being hungry and angry. When we don't eat a healthy diet, when we don't get the exercise we need, when we don't put in some downtime into our day, some Sabbath time into our week for silent meditation and solitude, it affects the way we think. And so we need to put some margin into our lives and take care of our bodies, because we're not just a mind and a heart, we're also a body. And last, what might help us is to create a habit of intentionally offering encouragement and affirmation to other people. Like my friend Joe from Pittsburgh, James tells us that blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. So let's choose blessing. Probably the best way to stop a bad habit is to develop a good habit. So we can be intentional about replacing our tendency to be negative and critical with a spirit of blessing others. Maybe some of you have read the book, Five Love Languages. It's a book published several years ago by Gary Chapman. And in one of those chapters, he talks about the language of words of affirmation. He says that since negative comments tend to stick with us longer, we need to give at least 6 words of affirmation from every word of criticism that we give. And that way we can use the power of words to build people up rather than tear them down. I think one way that is tangible of doing this is by sending letters of encouragement, even emails, even texts to people in your life. I've known people who have taken this ministry very seriously, and they send letters on a weekly basis. That's their ministry. I think this is such a gift to the people who receive those letters of encouragement. Well, I think we may never totally tame the tongue, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we may grow into the image of Christ by putting in our lives these disciplines, such as prayer and forgiveness, finding time for silence and solitude, so that we can become self-aware, so that we can pay attention to our bodies and use our words to bless others. Well, the good news is that there is no toilet paper shortage. I know you're glad to hear that. But even better news is that the Holy Spirit stands ready and present to help us in our quest of taming the tongue and to putting our faith into action. Our words can bring either life or death. May we choose life. Let us pray. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is faith, where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you, Alice. If you will, we'll stand for our closing hymn, number 231, Take the Name of Jesus With You, verses 1 and 3.
Child of sorrow. Receive now this benediction. Go and take the name of Jesus with you. Speak the truth always, but always in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.